Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation. Rock and Roll Friday is not today. It is, I don't know, is it Blue Monday? I don't feel blue to you. Anyway, turn it off. It's enough already. Here's the thing. I got so many stories I'm not going to do. All weekend long, I was pulling stories, and here are the stories I'm not going to do. Soldier's hero dog stolen by military. We're trying to raise awareness about what the military has done to specialist Brent Grommet. They took his German Shepherd named Maddie away from him after he returned from Afghanistan, and they will not tell him where the dog is. I have taken my lawyer and put him on the case. We're going to find that dog, if we can, and return it to Brent Grommet. We're trying to get his father on the show. Apparently, Brent Grommet has been threatened by the Defense Department to the extent that he will not do public appearances. This is your new army at work under Hagel the Bagel. I also discovered that Obama has gutted our nuclear defenses. While you slept, Obama gutted our nuclear system. Not only did he create false charges against our nuclear command structure and purge them the way Stalin purged his military, but he has permitted the nuclear arsenal's infrastructure to fracture. This is while China and Russia are building up their nuclear systems. This anti-nuke devil in the White House has basically, without Congress, denuded our nukes. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We know about him saying he's going to move ahead on executive orders, even though he just destroyed his own party's chances for the next 100 years, unless they bring in millions of illegal aliens and get the dumb and stupid who are unqualified at any speed to vote over and over again. Those are the stories I'm not going to cover. They're so devilish I can't cover them. I have 10 other stories I'm not going to cover. You know what I'm going to cover? The devil. That's right. Do you believe the devil exists? And have you experienced an exorcism? Why am I asking you this silly question? Why would I do that? Is this anti-Christian to do it? Well, it can't be anti-Christian because the Catholics have trained priests to be exorcists because they believe that Satan exists. And what's intriguing to me is I don't know if all other religions believe there's a devil. I know we believe there's a devil in the White House. Many of us believe that Obama is acting like the devil himself. That the devil himself couldn't get away with the things Obama's been getting away with. Many people believe that. They don't understand how he continues to do it after he just caused an earthquake in his own party. But he continues to march on as though he's a man unto himself. Well, the answer is, I was going through my journals from 1968. I'm editing them, as I told you. And they'll be published, hopefully, in my lifetime. I found a note that I took in 1968 when I was a very young man. Notes in Greek and English written by Karl Marx. I said, holy God, who does this describe? Listen to this. And I'm not going to try the Latin, rather, written in Latin. Sorry, I get so excited sometimes. The notes were written by Karl Marx in Latin and in English. And the English translation is that of Obama. It says, every opinion based on scientific criticism, said Karl Marx, I welcome. As to the prejudices of so-called public opinion, to which I have never made concessions, now is aforetime the maxim of the great Florentine is mine, which is this. Pursue your own course no matter what the people say. And I said, holy God, Karl Marx is literally the bookkeeper for Barack Obama. Pursue your own course no matter what the people say. This is not about a strong will. This is about a dictatorship of a Marxist. But in addition to that, in addition to doing that kind of work, I was watching movies over the weekend, which I often do. I close the curtains and I watch movies. And I saw a movie called The Right with Anthony Hopkins. And it's about exorcism in Rome. I didn't believe that they believed in the Satan and that the Vatican has actually trained exorcists, according to the Pope. Yes, it's true. The Pope, who was adamant about the fight against Satan in his sermons, is actually commending groups who are doing exorcisms. Do you believe the devil exists? I'm asking my audience. Have you experienced an exorcism? Have you actually experienced the devil? I'm talking to you, sir. You in the streets of Dallas. Madam, I'm talking to you in the streets of Manhattan. Do you believe in the devil? Have you experienced an exorcism? Now, this is the Catholic Church. I am not a Catholic, but I'm intrigued by the fact that the church itself, which would in the past have rejected exorcism as that being a paganistic act or an act of paganism, apparently now trains priests to work around the world to pull the devil out of people. And that's what the movie's about. It's about a Vatican certified exorcist working in the U.S. named Father Gary Thomas, who lived in Saratoga, California, near San Jose, California. He's real. He's there. He became certified to practice exorcisms after completing 40 hours of study at the Vatican's Athenaeum Pontificum Regina Apostolorum in Rome. And the movie is called The Rite, The Making of a Modern Exorcist. Do you believe in evil? Do you believe that there are people who are possessed by the devil? Is this a worthy topic for talk radio? It's more interesting than Obama. It's more interesting than John Boehner. It's more interesting than repeating everything you heard for the last 10 weeks over and over again. So I'll go into this topic because I think that there are listeners out there who are tuned into this. And then I want to broaden the topic from the Catholic view of the devil to other religions' view of the devil. To the radical Muslim, everyone's a devil except them. Think about that. Think about how insane that is. To the fundamentalist Islamist, even Muslims who are not fanatical like them are possessed by the devil and they're worthy of death. This is what we're dealing with. I want you to understand how extreme the enemy is. You may not understand how extreme the people around you are who practice this extreme form of Islam, but they are in essence saying you are the devil worthy of death. Do you know that? And they're allowed in this country. They're allowed to pray openly in this country. They're allowed to plot your death in this country. And we sit here waiting for the hammer to fall on us because we have, what do we have in the White House? What do we have, a fellow traveler? We don't know anymore. He's in China right now, and I don't know whether this photo was photoshopped on the top of the Drudge Report. I don't know. The Chinese in China are wearing business suits while our president is wearing a Mao jacket. Is it photoshopped, or did this guy pull it out of his closet? Did he pull a Mao jacket out of his closet from his years at Columbia? I don't know. Is it that crazy? Who knows? I don't have the answer. But I want to go back to the movie The Rite, and I want to play for you now the trailer with Anthony Hopkins' voice. And while you're listening to the trailer of The Rite, I want to ask you, does the devil exist? You know, there are movies about the devil. It's fiction about the devil. We all have devilish impulses. We all know that we do things that aren't right. We all feel like we shouldn't do certain things, but we do them anyway. Why? Because they give us pleasure. They give us delight. And then we feel guilty after we do it. We feel dirty after we do it, don't we? And what do we do to absolve our sins after we do what we know, well, we shouldn't be doing? We're being naughty boys and girls. And what do we do after we do those things? Well, if we're Catholic, we go and we confess in confession. If we are Jewish, I guess we eat a bad meal or something. I don't know. I mean, see, the thing about the Catholic Church is it has confession, which is brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. We used to live near a church when I was a kid in Queens, New York, on Utopia Parkway. There was a large, beautiful Catholic church. And on Sundays, we would watch the devout Catholics going to church. And my father, before going to work, would wonder as he was getting dressed in the morning. He'd look out the window. Actually, he'd lift the blinds and look through the blinds. And he'd see the nicely dressed people going to church. And he didn't mock them. But he would say with a certain degree of humor and chagrin, he said, you know what's beautiful about this? I said, what, Dad? He said, they lie, steal, and cheat on Saturday. They confess on Sunday. And then on Monday, they do it again. I said, sounds like a good deal to me. Now let's hear the trailer. To the right, right now in the Savage Nation.
You know, the interesting thing about skeptics is that we're always looking for proof. The question is, what on earth would we do if we found it?
What did you believe?
I believe that people prefer to lie to themselves than face the truth.
Last year, The Vatican received over 500,000 reports of demonic possession.
This was taken at an exorcism in Turin.
Not the devil. Just a very, very sick girl. She doesn't need a priest, she needs a shrink.
I haven't prayed in years. Last night I found myself praying for you.
It knows you, it knows all your sins.
You do not speak to it, it's the devil.
I'm coming for you.
Talking about, thanks very much, Anthony. Give him a corned beef and club and center. Do you believe the devil exists? Have you experienced an exorcism? I think this is such an interesting question that I decided to do this today, even though my guys did show prep since 6 in the morning, and I've been working on the show since Saturday. I couldn't get this movie out of my head. Because many of us look at the political system, and the only explanation for it is that the devil is running rampant in the Democrat Party. There's no other explanation for the things this man is doing to this country. Even after he has caused an earthquake at the ballot box, he continues to go on his merry way as though there is no vote whatsoever. And he gets away with it because we have punks and cowards in the Republican Party who are sickening. Sickening! They're less than zero. John Boehner and McConnell are less than zero. Don't tell me to respect them. What got me sick was, and I'm going to get political for a minute, on Wednesday, Obama gives a speech as though nothing happened. McConnell and Boehner go to a lunch with the guy, and they say, we're coming here to lay down our hatchet. And I start to scream on the show. Did you hear me when I said, morons, we didn't put your party back in power to lay down your hatchet. Morons, we told you to pick up your pitchforks and fight those devils. Did anyone hear me say that on Thursday? Didn't make it to the Drudge Report. Didn't make it to any of the other great sites that report if a person burps. If any conservative burps or gets a wart, they report it. But I give you the best gems in the history of talk radio. And let me tell you something else. Many of you know it. That's all that matters to me. And long after I'm gone from radio, which I hope is a long time from now, nobody will ever replace my insights, ever. And the reason I'm telling you this is because someone's got to tell it to you, and I'm going to be the one to tell it to you. It doesn't matter to me whether or not others acknowledge this. My insights are keener than anybody else's in radio. They're sharper than anybody else's in radio. They're more humorous than anybody else's in radio. Do you know that? And right now, I've just turned 180 degrees. I took the ship, the political ship, and just turned it for you. Because I'm asking you a question that I think affects every man and woman listening to this show, every child. Does the devil exist in you or not? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? It's the basis of all religion. It's the basis of all education. It's the basis of all child rearing. Do you understand this? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. We know that there are saintly people. We know that. We've met them. And we meet them in every day of our lives, good people. And then we know there are SOBs of the lowest order. They're possessed almost by an evil streak that is hard to imagine. They go out of the way to hurt people. They're not nice to animals. I don't have to name who they are. You've all met them. We all have a little bit of each in both of us. I myself am a very passionate man. I'm not going to tell you a whole story of my life, but I've had very, very, very strong emotions ever since I'm a little boy. And it reached a point in my life many years ago where I couldn't deal with it any longer. I thought I would go crazy from the impulses that I had. They were so powerful. They were overriding me. And then I got very heavily into religion. And I started to read the mystics, the Jewish mystics. And I learned about the evil impulse. See, from the Jewish perspective, it's different than the Catholic perspective. The Catholics approach it as though there's an entity called the devil or Satan within us, and they try to exorcise it from the being. The Jewish view is quite different. They call it, I don't really know the words for it, but it's called the evil impulse. And what saved me from this inability to deal with these impulses, whatever they may have been, they weren't even that bad at the time, but they were driving me nuts. They were taking me off life's course. I learned something, and I learned from the Jewish mystics that the evil impulse can be our best friend. That when you try to kill that energy, you're killing a piece of yourself. What I learned is that the masters who rise in the world, in any field, take this evil impulse and turn it to good. And I read example after example of students inside Jewish schools who were the troublemakers, for example. And the older rabbis would talk to them and teach them that they had the strong, in other words, the old rabbi saw a guy who was acting up, whatever he was doing, who knows, in the 1700s, I don't know where, Lithuania, whatever the story may be. And the old rabbi, the smart man, didn't yell at the student, didn't punish him. He took him aside and he said to him, do you realize that you're the most gifted student in here? And this rebellious student didn't believe him. He said, what do you mean I'm the most gifted student in here? Look what I'm doing. He said, it's because you have the strongest emotions. And he said to the young man, he said, if you can take that energy, the evil impulse, and turn it to good, you'll wind up being one of the most, the holiest of the students in here. And that was the story. And that's the trick. That's the judo. That's the martial art. That's the entire challenge for all of us. It's not to kill that impulse, because then you're killing yourself. Do you understand what's wrong with our psychiatric establishment? I could go on for 10 hours right now. I could talk about this topic for the rest of the week without let up. I know more about it than you might imagine. The evil impulse is not your enemy. It's the other side of the moon. It makes you into a sphere, a whole person. You try to kill it like the psychiatrists do with drugs, and what do you have? You have zombies. That's why they're drugging our school children. They're approaching it from the entirely wrong perspective. It's all wrong.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Il tuo corso e lascia dir le genti. I'm pursuing my own course, no matter what people say about me, and that's what I'm doing. I've taken this show on a 180-degree turn to port. I'm not going to do politics per se. I know what Obama is. Believe me, I understand how devilish this man is, and I understand that we have no opposition party. I understand all of that, but I'm talking instead about the essence of the human condition, which transcends politics, it transcends race, it transcends religion, it transcends time, and it affects every man, woman, or child listening to this program, The Savage Nation. So I saw the movie The Rite, and it's based on a real priest trained in exorcism. And I'm not into this particularly. I'm just laying in bed taking a nap yesterday, and I like Anthony Hopkins, and it's a little creepy. And I did not know till I watched the movie that the Catholic Church believes that there is that Satan exists, and they have approved exorcists to work around the world to remove the devil from people. And there's 14 Vatican certified exorcists working in the U.S. We're going to try to get the actual Father Gary Thomas on the show later in the week if we can find him. But it brought up another question for my audience, which is, do you believe the devil exists? Have you experienced an exorcism? How do you deal with your, what we Jews call Yetzer Hara, evil inclination? Many people don't even know what that is. The Jewish view is different than the Christian view, by the way. I didn't say better. I didn't say worse. Some of us would rather go to a psychiatrist and just have it drugged out of us. Well, good luck to you if you think that's going to help you. It never does. All it does is turn you into an American zombie who thinks that watching sports and entertainment is the answer and wearing shorts on the weekend and barbecuing. You're hiding something, my friend, because let me tell you this, something I've learned. The most dangerous people on the planet are not the people who look bizarre. It's the people who look very, very normal. The normal path is most to be feared. But in Judaism, there's a phrase called Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And what does it mean? It doesn't mean that there's a devil in us. It doesn't mean there's Satan in us. It just means the evil inclination of man, which is man's natural inclination. That's all it means. In other words, I'll put it another way. George Orwell wrote that inside every man, there is a man who wishes to be, I can't even remember what he said. We all know what I'm talking about. But it's a complex subject. And in the Jewish view is that it's not a demonic force, but it's how man misuses the things that the physical body craves. So, for example, you may have a need for food, which can become gluttony owing to the evil inclination. You may have a strong sex drive, which can become sexual addiction or sexual abuse, or so on. And many of us understand this, and many of us can deal with it, but many of us cannot. But the underlying idea is that every man is born with both a good inclination and an evil inclination. And the most important thing, if you're listening to my show for the first or last time, or for the thousandth time, is for you to hear me about what I'm about to say. If you have an evil inclination, or many of them, all day long, and you're possessed with these desires, it doesn't mean that you're bad, or that the inclinations are necessarily bad. It doesn't mean you're abnormal and you need to go to a shrink. It means that you need to learn how to recognize your evil inclination and take the energy of the evil inclination, the energy, and use the energy like wild horses on it. I used to make this analogy for myself. Make believe you have a team of 16 horses, that you're on a wagon and you have 16 horses all lashed together in front of you. And you're riding that wagon. You're in control of it. But there's one horse that wants to pull away from the other 15. If you could take the energy of that one horse and get it back in line with the other horses, you can move mountains. You can do anything you want. I'll never forget something as long as I live. I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I don't know where this is coming from. I'll tell you some interesting story that just came back to me. When I was going through these agonies when I was in my 40s, I went and saw a mystical rabbi who was from Russia, and a poor man, I'm not talking about one of the Mercedes-driving slicksters. God bless them all. But the thing was, he was not in it for the money. This was a pure mystic. Heavy, porcelain, overweight, had no suitcase. He walked around with a rope around a carton. That's how he traveled. Smoked cigarettes heavily. And I told him what I was thinking and what I was going through. And he said certain things to me. He said, do you realize that if you channel this evil inclination, this evil impulse, which is not evil at all, by the way, he said, you can move mountains. I said, why? He said, let me say it again. He said, the Christians believe you can move a mountain with the right amount of energy, with the right thought, with the right focus. Well, look at the most successful people in the world who have done good and have done bad. Is there not something to explain how they've done it? Oh, you could justify it any way you want. You could say that, you know, someone's behind them, which is true. No man is an island unto himself. Everyone has to have an organization behind them. Everyone does. For example, I have the privilege of broadcasting to you on 250 stations because I'm syndicated by Cumulus Broadcasting. Without them, I'd be alone in a room talking to my dog, or I'd go be on the internet. And I do a radio show on the internet, which might be a large audience, but it wouldn't be, you wouldn't be hearing me right now on the speakers in your car or the speakers in your home or in your headphone or on your iPhone or your Android. Well, you would on the Androids, but that's a separate story. It's saying everyone needs others. We're interacting. All of us interact. No man is an island. If you do an internet radio based show, you're going to need the broadband. You're going to need someone to help you make it happen. So no one's an island unto themselves. So what I'm saying is, how do the most successful people get where they are? They have an energy that's unlike the average person. That's number one. And you can probably recognize that in certain people. A vitality, a life force, however you want to put it, an energy that's different than the average person. They are dynamos. Have you ever heard that phrase? They can run rings around people. Have you ever heard that phrase? In every litter of dogs, there's a dog that's spunkier than the others. They jump, they play, they run, they're brighter, their eyes are sharper. We know that. Then there's the kind of runt in the pack, in the litter, and then there's the sick ones. It's the same in the human race. What you don't understand is that no government on earth can make all dogs the same. No government on earth can make everyone be born equal, because we're not born equal. We may have equal rights, that is a truth, but we're not born equal. Just look at any boxing match and you'll see that. We're not born equal. Just look at a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game or a chess match or in a surgical ward, and you'll see that we're not born equal. No, we're all a little different. We're all little snowflakes, just pretty little snowflakes. But within all of us, there is the other impulse. How do we deal with it? How do you deal with it? And I want to open this up to other religions. How do the Confucians deal with it? How do Asians look upon this subject? This is an interesting one. I've read Buddhism. I've read the Old Testament, the New Testament. I've read Buddhism. Buddhism is more of a philosophy than a religion, by the way. I don't know if you know that. It's not per se a set of laws. It's a set of poems. Buddhism is universal teachings through stories. And it's a religion, Buddhism, that's not really a religion that we know as we know it in the Western tradition. It's a series of stories, a series of allegories. For example, the life of women. There are four types of women. Of the first type, there are those who become angry for slight causes, who have changeable minds, who are greedy and jealous of others' happiness, and who have no sympathy for the needs of others. Of the second type, write the Buddhists, there are those who grow angry over trifling affairs, who are fickle and greedy, but who do not feel envious of others' happiness, and who are sympathetic for the needs of others. Of the third type, there are those who are more broad-minded and do not become angry very often, who know how to control a greedy mind, but are not able to avoid feelings of jealousy, and who are not sympathetic for the needs of others. Of the fourth type, there are those who are broad-minded, who can restrain feelings of greed and retain calmness of mind, who do not feel envious of others' happiness, and who are sympathetic for the needs of others. Now, that's one example. That's from the Buddhism, the teachings of Buddha, for example. But if you go into the writings of the fathers in the Jewish religion, again, it's by allegory and story. We all think Judaism is only about the Ten Commandments or the Bible, but it's also a religion built on stories, on the three types of men, or the four types of men. You'll find universal truths transcend religions. And by the way, all religions except one can be boiled down to one sentence. I found this to be a result of my life of learning and studying. All religions except Islam teaches the following, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Islam strangely doesn't teach that. That's a very interesting difference, but I don't want to go into that for the moment. That's for another time and another problem that needs to be discussed. We're talking about now the devil. We're talking about now, do you believe the devil exists? Have you experienced the devil in yourself? How have you expunged the devil from yourself? How have you dealt with your evil impulse? I haven't taken one call yet on the Savage Nation. Are you enjoying the show today? Do you want me to continue on this? Or would you rather hear Obama did this? Amnesty did that. Department of Motor Vehicle Bureau is going to give away 1.4 million new driver's licenses in California in order to make certain that there's an instant Mexican voting population, to make certain that the corrupt Democrat Party in California continues to thrive for decades to come. Loretta Lynch, who was picked by Al Sharpton to be the next attorney general, you heard me, that was Saturday morning, picked by Al Sharpton, according to all reports, is basically an Al Sharpton acolyte from New York City. This Loretta Lynch is not equipped to be attorney general, but I can guarantee you that she will be approved by the same Republican cowards who approved Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 1994. I can guarantee you they will not oppose her because they're afraid to be called racist. They've learned nothing. And we're going to be stuck with her for a few more years. Loretta Lynch, pay close attention to the lynch mob that will follow her. The lynch mob in the Attorney General's office. The Obamacare architect, the man who wrote it, Jonathan Gruber, said the American voters' idiocy was critical to passing Obamacare. He said we couldn't make it transparent. The people had to be kept stupid. We didn't want them to know what was in it. Again, those are examples of things that you can't believe people are saying and reporting. But I don't really want to do politics right now. I want to go back to the most important question, which transcends all other questions, which affects every man on earth from childhood to old age. You could be the most evil piece of POS your whole life, but when you're on your deathbed, you're going to ask for absolution. You're going to beg God to forgive you. You're going to ask for a priest or a rabbi to come to your bedside and tell you you're not so bad. You're going to build temples with your money. You're going to give and build churches with your money. You're going to give to causes with your money, hoping that somehow if you were wrong and there is a God and there is a heaven and there is an earth and you are judged, that somehow you'll buy your way into heaven. I know what human beings do. I'm a human being. Now let's take some calls. WJR in Ohio this time, not in Detroit. Nancy, welcome to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the devil. Do you believe the devil exists?
Actually, I do not believe the devil exists. I believe that the devil has been created by mankind. There is a book called The Origin of the Devil that I cannot remember the name. It was a woman who wrote it, the same as our idea of God. We have created God in our image and likeness, as we have been told. I am a metaphysical student and also a recovering Catholic, so I have been exposed to this.
So wait, hold on. Let's be up front. So you're an atheist?
No, I'm not an atheist. I believe that there is a power greater than myself. There is a power greater than ourselves. I am not that egocentric to believe that there is not something that gives us.
You don't see people who are pure evil. You don't see people in a political landscape who act as though they are the devil, for example. Or let's look at true crime. Aren't there people who are just pure evil?
I believe that they are a sociopath, that they have personality disorders such as,
Hold it. Now you're justifying their behavior. Now you're falling into the liberal bear trap. You're now justifying their behavior. Maybe they're just no good. Did you ever think there are people who are born no good?
Yes, they are mental.
You know, I've seen children from the time I'm a child. I've seen beautiful little children. I've seen mean SOBs from the time they came out of the womb. You haven't seen evil children?
Yeah, the ones that hurt animals.
You haven't seen children who hurt animals, tear the wings off flies, set cats on fire, step on other people's toes, steal their life? You haven't seen them. I have. I remember them very well. I was once a school teacher. There were purely evil people in those classes.
Totally evil? Because seriously, Mike, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And we see the evil, but there is just as much good, because physically...
So why do we have prisons then? You're telling me that a mass murderer should be treated and that he can be released on the street? A man who rapes children should be released after treatment? How many of them are recidivists? What percentage of child molesters are recidivists? The answer is all of them. They cannot be cured. Child molesters cannot be cured. They can only be contained. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. What does the devil make you do that you don't want to do? How's that for a question? There was a movie years ago, The Devil and Miss Jones, back in the 60s, kind of a porno film or whatever, but it was an interesting title. What does the devil make you do that you don't want to do, but you do it anyway? Do you believe the devil exists? Many of you do. And I can tell you right now that many of you believe that the Catholic Church is correct for having hired or trained 14 Vatican-certified exorcists working now in the U.S. There's a reason for it. But then the Jewish belief is different. And the Buddhist belief is different again. And if you want to talk about this topic, I'd love to hear from someone who has experienced an exorcism from real life here on the Savage Nation in the next hour. And you know the phone number, right? But I'd love to take some of the callers. Before this hour ends, which is only 40 seconds from now, I have to say this. To Jewish belief, every man, Jew and non-Jew, Jew and this, is born with two opposing impulses that pull the man to act in either a bad way or a good way. But ultimately, it's up to the man to decide whether to be on the good side or the bad side. We have free will, in other words. That's the Jewish view, is that we're not simply acting out something from another place that's forcing us to do anything. But also, you should know that all men, we believe, will succumb to their evil inclination. No one's a saint. For there is not a righteous man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. How's that one?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This was taken at an exorcism in Turin.
It's not the devil. It's just a very, very sick girl. She doesn't need a priest, she needs a shrink.
I haven't prayed in years. Last night I found myself praying for you.
It knows you. It knows all your sins.
You do not speak to it. It's the devil.
I'm coming for you.
Your name! Give me your name! God help me!
You cannot defeat it.
That's a trailer from a movie I saw over the weekend on TV called The Right, and I stumbled upon it, and I'm not into this particularly, but it captivated me, and I watched about half of it, and I thought about it at night, and it's about Satanism, and Pope Francis actually has invited individuals to Rome. Actually, I think it was the previous Pope, I'm not sure, 14 Vatican-certified exorcists in the United States alone. They're real. And why are they doing this? What is happening? Well, a spokesman for the organization involved with this exorcism business, this anti-Satanism, warns of an extraordinary increase in demonic activity. He claims that many, many millions of people are turning to dark practices that are damaging psychologically, spiritually, and morally at an alarming rate. And he feels that there are too many people in America in particular willing to take part in ordinary demonic activity, which leaves them vulnerable to greater attacks from Satan. But listen to this part of it. He also views societies where residents are actively demonstrating, quote, rushing superficiality, exaggerated individualism, and secularization as being an even worse danger. Well, you know, you could also say that's true. Rushing superficiality. Take a look at what Hollywood pushes down the throats of our young children in particular. What are they proposing? Hollywood is run by the devil. There's no question in my mind that the Caesars of Hollywood are the devil incarnate. No question in my mind that if Satan exists, he exists in Hollywood. And therefore, if he can exist in Hollywood, he can exist anywhere. And he can exist in a political system. And he can exist in certain politicians. And to many of us, I don't even have to mention the name because you all know what I'm going to say. He represents the Antichrist or the devil to many of us. He represents pure evil. He represents a man who has decimated every aspect of this society as rapidly as he could get away with it without actually being stopped. He couldn't do it overnight. Look what he's done in 6 years. He's two more years to go. And did he say after the earthquake he caused on Tuesday he was going to change his ways? No. Satan Obama didn't. Satan Obama said, I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing. You can all go to hell. And no one can stop me. That sounds rather imperious to me. It seems he has an energy and a power in his own mind that supersedes that of our shaky little republic here. The voters don't count because only one-third of us voted. Of course, it's true in all midterms, only one-third of us vote. But to this man in the White House, we don't exist. You're just a bunch of stupid old white men. You wait until 2016, he said, when we get blacks, Hispanics, women, minorities, illegals to vote, then you'll see who really runs this country. Tell me, is that the voice of a man who cares about a nation? Is that the voice and opinion of a man ruled by good rather than the evil inclination? I'll ask you. You'll have to decide for yourself. But I didn't want particularly to talk about politics. I'd rather talk about Satan and Satanism and exorcism. And I've asked the question on the Savage Nation, have you ever met the devil? Have you ever been there, experienced an exorcism? Because the Catholics are very into it. The International Association of Exorcists was first acknowledged by Pope Francis in July when their statutes were approved by the Vatican's Congregation for Clergy. And this act gave legal recognition to the group's activity and their performance of exorcisms around the world. I don't know how an exorcism works. I don't quite get it. They're supposed to think Satan's in you and they pull it out of you. I don't know, you know. To me, it doesn't make sense that there's a devil per se. I don't know. My view is that all men have good and evil in them. My mother used to teach me that, you know, different races, she would say, you know what, in all people there's good and bad. That's all she would say. She was a simple woman. Growing up in New York City, a multiracial city, she never said the N-word, never said a word about another religion. In fact, when I think about it, she was a saint. She's as close to a saint as anyone I ever met, despite the fact that she was a human being. I remember once there was a black woman whose baby got run over or something. And, you know, white people in those days didn't care that much about black people, incidentally. They didn't treat them as them like, you know, like they were the same. They didn't. I'm telling you the truth. And she cried and she said to me, don't you understand, Michael? She said, that's her baby. So in other words, a good mother can teach a good son. A bad mother can teach a son to be bad. Or if you want to put it another way, we all have the choice to be whatever we want, and I think we're a mixture of both. All men will succumb to their evil inclination. There's not a righteous man amongst us. You know what Jesus said? Let he who is without sin, right? What do you say about for he who is without sin? Throw the first stone. We all live in glass houses. For there is not a righteous man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, according to the Jews. So how do we look at evil is the question. And I said the Jewish view, from the mystical point of view, not the moralistic modern point of view, it's called the Yetzirah, an evil inclination. And what I learned and how I learned to succeed in life, I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth right now. I'll just give it to you, take it for free. I could write a book on this. I could write a whole book on what I'm going to tell you in a few sentences, but I'm not going to write this book. I'm giving it to you, my listeners, as a gift. You, if you learn to channel, and I'm talking, you know, you could be in a prison right now listening to the show. You've learned already that you made mistakes. Not that you got caught per se, but you know from all the therapy you've had in prison that you were doing wrong. You know it now if you didn't know it then. But you also know that you have extraordinarily strong powers and you're very strong. You're very strong, but think about what you could do with this evil energy if you converted it to good. Well, many men know that. Many women know that. Reformed, the reformed gangbanger who goes out in the neighborhood and tries to stop gang activity. What do you think they are? Have you ever seen how tough some of these men are? Have you looked at them with scars on their bodies and on their faces? You think that they're kidding? They're walking through hellfire itself to try and save children from entering that evil world. And this is not a joke, but it's a well-known fact that I don't know how to put it in a delicate manner. Maybe I didn't get the gene for subtlety. Maybe that's the problem. It could be a genetic problem. I'm too blunt. I admit that. Philosophy is okay, but I tend to speak bluntly and directly, the plain truth. There used to be a phrase that the toughest mothers are reformed prostitutes. I don't know if you ever heard that. It doesn't mean all tough, but I heard that. They're the strictest, the worst. You've heard that as well. All kinds of things float around, and it's what has it got to do with good and evil? All of these issues go back to the same issue, which is good and evil, and how do we control it, and what do we do? Within different religions, look at it in a different way. But I believe every man, every woman, is born with opposing inclinations, and you're pulled to act in either a bad way or a good way. We know that. We know it in every one of our acts, and some of us are stronger than others, in plain English. But how often are we taught to see the good in ourselves and try to go to the good rather than the evil? How many times a day do you get messaging from the media that your evil inclinations are good and your good inclinations are evil? How often? Every time you watch a movie, the Caesars of Hollywood tell you that your evil inclinations are really you and good, and your best intentions are to be laughed at. That's the devil in Hollywood. Absolute devils. Absolute devils. But do you believe there's an existence of supernatural evil? the Catholics do. But here's something you may not know. Ancient forms of Judaism recognized the existence of supernatural evil, especially in the form of fallen angels, as described in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I don't think you understand that. But if you look at the history of Judaism, they believed in the existence of supernatural evil in ancient times. So where do we go from here? Well, let me read you one last thing. Satan. The Babylonian Talmud, reading the Talmud written in the Babylonian times by ancient rabbis, wrote this. It is all one and the same thing. Satan, the evil inclination and the angel of death. What does that mean? It means it's all part of us. You can't cut your arm off and be a whole person. You can't say, oh boy, I'm going to do this or I did that and I'm no good. Because you're going to be a ripped apart person. This is probably the greatest, I'd say this is the greatest challenge any human being has to go through. How do you deal with your evil inclinations? And the stronger they are, the more powerful you are. That's the message I'm trying to get across to you. The stronger you are, the more you are struggling with your evil inclinations, the more capacity you have to do good. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I guess that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Don't give up on yourself. The more you are struggling, the more capacity you have to do good. I admit this is moralistic and preachy. I get it. And many of you don't want to hear it in an age of cynicism. I get that as well. But you know what? I do dance to a different drummer, or however that phrase is put. I can't pay much attention anymore to what others are doing. I don't even listen to them. Good luck to everybody. Everybody has to follow their own road. At this stage of my life and at this stage of my radio career, I'm going to go down the road of whatever the heck interests me. Right now, all I'm interested in is good and evil. That's all. Now I'm going to take the callers because they're so good. They're so good right now. You've never heard callers like you're about to hear, and I'll be right back to take them. Right on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Little bit of both in all of us, right? Great topic. I'm loving it. I can't believe almost 90 minutes have shot by so fast. And I'm working in politics, but it's not the show anymore right now. I mean, we've done it. We went through the election. We know Obama's a psycho. We know he's not a narcissist, but I define him as something else. On the, you know, like they say, there's an autism spectrum, which there is. Well, there's a spectrum of egotism that ranges from self-confidence all the way through to megalomania, which is a madness. And I believe the madness of King Obama is apparent to everyone, including members of his own party. And I don't want to talk about it. It's up to others to take care of it. We can't do anything about it. Why would this psycho go to China and appear in a picture in a Mao jacket? You cannot. I thought it was a Photoshop picture. It's real. In China, where the businessmen wear business suits, our crypto-Marxist, he's really a crypto-Leninist or a crypto-Maoist, by the way, is wearing a Mao jacket. Do you have any idea what this says? Have you any idea how sick this man is? And that's why I don't want to talk about it. He needs an exorcism. I think he ought to go to the Vatican and meet the Pope. Maybe they could put him into a room with an exorcist, and we'd have a president that we can trust. Scott in North Carolina, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please, fire away.
Hey, sir, how you doing? It's a pleasure to talk to you. You picked a great subject today. I'm a former Catholic seminarian, and I once aspired to be an exorcist. The Catholic Church has never changed its position on Satan. We've always acknowledged the belief and the knowing of a personal evil. It's not like modern psychobabble would have you believe that people that are bad are just mentally ill, that there's no personal evil in the world. There is a personal evil in the world, and the same divine source that gives us the truth of God and salvation also reveals to us that there is a personal evil called Satan. So he is real, and he is having a field day.
Yeah. Now, okay, let's focus on that. You yourself are in seminary right now, Scott?
I was. I left it for the vocation of holy matrimony. I decided I was called to be married rather than go through.
Well, thank the Lord for that. At least you're going to bring good children into the world, already have done so. But did you train to be an exorcist?
studied the subject greatly. When you read of real Catholic Church exorcisms that have taken place in detail, one of the things you learn, and I learned this in a prior career, I was a commissioned officer in the Army, if you're going to fight the enemy, you have to know how the enemy operates. And you will learn a lot about how the enemy operates when you deal with an exorcism. An exorcism is simply a priest putting an evil spirit, binding him, and then to forcing him out into the open and disposing of him and liberating the person. They say you bind the evil spirit, put him under oath to get rid of him. But it's very rare. It doesn't.
But wait, let me intervene, because you're saying so many interesting things that provoke conversation in my own mind. Military ideas came to mind. Why do we have a modern military under these left-wing fanatics that won't even define Islamic fascism as evil? How can you defeat an enemy that is pure evil and not define him as evil and defeat them? The answer is we can't, which is why we're not beating them.
Right. That's why we're losing. We're losing the cultural battle here at home. We're losing ground and losing face as a nation all over the world. There's a huge vacuum, in my opinion, that's being created worldwide by the absence of a strong America. I became concerned as soon as Obama was elected and he was popular in France. I hate to pick on the French, but any time.
Okay, I get it. Well, at least we have a sense of humor about it. Scott, you said something else that provoked thought in me. Binding a person and removing Satan from him. That's done during an exorcism. But you know what came to my mind was early methods of punishing children was beating them to beat out the devil in them. Isn't that true?
Well, it says, spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. I mean, we're not talking child abuse, but let's face it.
But do you actually believe, did you raise your children that way? Do you beat them?
I don't beat them. I spank them. I would spank them soundly if they need it, absolutely. And there is a Catholic word for something you were describing earlier, an innate tendency towards sin we all have. We call it concupiscence. And there's three sources of tendency.
Oh, this is great. I would say that the worst Democrat liberals are those who needed a spanking as children and never got it. They're the types who smeared fecal matter on the walls of their living rooms and on the Upper East Side, and their mother thought it was a Picasso art exhibit. And I'm not just pulling your leg. I know what the Spock-like child-rearing has done to the world. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Look at the times. Look at the 50s, the kind of songs that were written. Look how beautiful this song is. I mean, it's idealizing the woman is an angel. And take a look at what woman has been turned into in this age of liberalism, in our popular culture. Take a look at how she is portrayed in the movies, in advertisements, in songs. Wherever you turn, the woman is turned into something other than an earth angel, isn't she? And as a woman is portrayed, so the society goes, in my opinion. And we're talking now about who did it to us. The answer is many of us, maybe we ourselves, we are the enemy. And, you know, I remember back in the East Village in the day, In the mid '60s, I know that the late '60s in the East Village of New York, and people think that the cartoonist Pogo wrote "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." I actually wrote it. People don't know that. Can I prove it? I don't know. I think it was in one of the literary publications I worked with. I wrote it first. It was picked up by the cartoonist. It's a very famous saying: "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." Everyone quotes it. They don't know it was a Michael Savage original. But it's irrelevant who wrote it. The truth is the enemy is us, and we know that. Because within all of us, there's good and evil. I said that to you. None of us are purely good, and none of us are purely evil. I don't believe. However, there are degrees. If you look at Islamofascists, Islamofascism, ISIS, however you want to call them, they're pure evil. There's nothing good about them. What, burying people alive is good? To the liberal, what, that's equal to us dropping bombs on them? Raping women of another religion is something to be admired to the liberal? I don't think so. I don't know how they think. I think you'd probably find them say, "Oh, big deal. We use drones on them. They can. What do you think they're doing? It. They're frustrated." You don't think you're going to hear that from some of the liberals that you know? That's pure evil. There is pure evil in the world, and they need to be crushed and wiped out. That's what the nuclear weapons were developed for. They were developed to annihilate entire populations. That's what they're for. Wipe them out while you can. Say, well, okay, come on, Mike. You're getting carried away. Can't use them because there's good mixed in with the evil. Tell that to Harry Truman. Tell that to Harry Truman. Tell that to those who firebombed the cities in Germany. How many innocent German children died in order to wipe out the scourge of the evil of Nazism? That's when a war was fought to end all wars. And right now we're losing this war because we've lost the ability to comprehend what war actually is. We have idiots running the government. We have idiots running the Pentagon. We have morons running the State Department. And we are all suffering as a result of that. Of course there's good and evil. Of course innocent shouldn't suffer. You cannot engage in war without making innocent suffer. It's impossible. But we're talking about good and evil, aren't we? And the world right now is replete with evil. There's more evil on the planet today, in my opinion, than there has been in my entire life. I've never seen anything like this. When you have Islamofascists raging in the Middle East with impunity, and they're not being stopped because we have something other than a commander-in-chief in the White House, you have to ask yourself, how long will this cancer be allowed to metastasize before it is stopped? It's worse than Ebola. ISIS is worse than Ebola. Yes, you heard me. Why is it not being contained? Well, we read that Obama's adding more troops. Certainly not as many troops as he's sending to Africa to build clinics. But he's sending more troops. Maybe they'll pass out literature to ISIS and ask them to follow another way. I don't know. But what is the birth of the good inclination? More specifically, do you believe the devil exists? I do. And have you experienced an exorcism more particularly, which is very interesting. Michael on WABC in New York. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you, sir? I just want to say thank you for, you raise a lot of good questions, and I believe that you just confirmed today that everybody is thinking about the same thing, at least maybe not everybody. But it's just like you said, the devil, good and evil, it's all the same thing. Good.
Okay. All right, Michael. I mean, I don't need someone to rehash in a broken manner what I said for 2 hours. So thanks for the call. Whatever. WABC, let's try Thomas on line 5. Thomas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael. I think you just nailed it. There's pure evil, and I think Satan exists in a world. Look at ISIS. They've upped the ante. They've gone from innocent decapitations. They took a pregnant Christian woman and her husband. They begged for mercy, and they set the two of them on fire. There's only one thing that could generate that, Michael, and that's Satan.
Why don't you tell that to Barack Obama and the Democrats?
Well, because they're sympathizers with this, unfortunately, Michael. They really are.
Well, I don't know. They must be, because if you don't fight evil, then you're supporting evil, is what you're saying.
That's right. Get out of
okay,
the way.
Well, I get it. I get it. We've never seen anything like this in our lives. We have never seen anything like this. Pennsylvania, WABC, Steve, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, the devil is real. Anybody who doesn't believe that the existence of the devil or demons or Satan is really fooling themselves, you have to look to the Bible. When the fight in heaven where Lucifer was cast out of heaven, he wasn't sent to hell. He was sent to the earth. And therefore, the demonic is prowling about the world at this time. Jesus, if you read in the New Testament, Jesus did many healings. He did many exorcisms back then. He was always casting out demons. Unfortunately, in today's culture, if you bring the subject of demonology up or exorcisms or the demonic, you get laughed at. But it's a very real reality.
That's right. Hollywood actually, that's their stock and trade, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hollywood's stock and trade is exactly that.
Also, take it a step further, the adult industry, pornography, that is purely demonic. If you ever, I mean, who in their right mind would subject themselves to that humiliation and activity to be sent out worldwide? It's crazy. But people feed into this. They get caught up, and the first caller spoke of the natural inclination of concupiscence. It's very real. And the way you combat it, you have to stay close to God, wherever your faith is. You have to pray every day, attend Mass, receive the sacraments. If a person is possessed, the rite of exorcism is a sacramental. So before the rite of exorcism is going to be performed, the priest will tell the penitent or the person, you have to change your ways, go to confession. You just don't walk in the door of the church and say, I need an exorcist.
Right. But if you look at the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, it's laws that are supposed to keep people on the straight and narrow. I mean, the Ten Commandments, are they not a guideline for keeping you on the straight and narrow?
Absolutely. And Jesus came and he said, to love me with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and treat neighbors yourself. Out of those Ten Commandments, the first three commandments deal specifically to Jesus and honoring him. The last seven are how to deal with your neighbor. Now, when you speak specifically of the adult...
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's in Exodus. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I thank you for the call, because I want to pause on that. I had trouble with that one because I had constant battles with my father. I was hard-headed. He was strong, old style. And we bucked heads like young animals, old one and the young one. And then I once went to a religious person because I said, I can't honor parents who do certain things. I can't honor a parent who's not what I want my parent to have been, this and that. And she was actually the rabbi's wife. You know what she said to me? She said, if you study that in Hebrew, it doesn't mean worship thy father and thy mother. It means honor the fact that they gave you life form. That's all it means, and that relieved me of that burden. I don't know if you heard. See, there's so much wisdom in the world if you look for it. If you read these surfaces, honor thy father and thy mother, what if you had a rotten father, a rotten mother? I didn't, but what if you did? What if you had a mother who was purely no good? Doesn't mean you have to honor her or her acts. It means honor the fact that she brought you into the world. That's all you have to honor. You don't have to honor what she did or what she became. Thou shalt not murder. Even that one, if you look at the Ten Commandments, you look at it in Hebrew, it has a different meaning. It doesn't actually mean thou shalt not kill. Many people think, oh, you can't kill, or you can't go to war, or you can't have a death penalty. It's wrong. That's not what the Bible says. They try to quote the Bible because they misquote the Hebrew. The Hebrew doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. What does that mean? There's a difference between murder and killing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And even that has a definition. What is adultery? Adultery is committing that sin with a married woman. Did you know that? I'm talking from the man's point of view. I don't know if you know that. That's adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Is that clear enough to you, unless you're a Democrat? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That should be clear to anyone except a liberal Democrat. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Well, okay, that's about jealousy, isn't it? So those are the commandments, and they just appear in the middle of Exodus. Right in the middle of it. It's not even in the beginning. It was not like Charlton Heston came down with the tablets. It's in the middle of Exodus, chapter 19. That's actually chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 12, verse 13 of the Ten Commandments. Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13 of Exodus is where the Ten Commandments are found. You say, well, so it's an afterthought. Maybe, I don't know, but it's in there. Do you need rules to know what the right thing is and what the wrong thing is? You actually need a set of laws to know what it actually means? You need a book? You need a book to know these things? I mean, do we inherently know right from wrong? No, we don't. We're animals. I believe we're inherently capable of anything. Not all of us are capable of being sadistic murderers, but most of us are. If you take a child from the time that child appears from the womb and you start to brainwash that child and tell that child that another race is no good, evil, and they should be killed, as the Muslims are doing all over the world, whether you want to hear it or not, it's too bad. Take a look at the training films from ISIS. Take a look at what the Palestinians are training their children, how they're training them to hate. They're training them to kill and be psychopathic murderers for life. Is that good or is that evil? Well, if you're a sympathizer of their cause, so to speak, you think that that's justified. That's the liberal philosophy, moral equivalency. In other words, they are the enemy themselves. That's why we, the conservatives in America, must stand firm in our belief system, or we're all going to die. Our nation will disappear from us. We have to hold out for the next 2 years and 2 months that this devil in the White House is there. I'm sorry to put it in such blunt terms. There is no other explanation for this man's behavior. You know, over the weekend, I ran into a few people in my neighborhood that I say hello to, and they all said the same thing. They were shocked that he could get away with what he got away with on Wednesday. Tuesday, the man lost the greatest upset in modern American political history. Wednesday, he gave a speech where there was no contrition. He got up like the arrogant man that he is, the megalomaniac that he is, and went on saying, I'll use a pen to do what I want. Go to hell. And the next day, the useless Republicans in the form of Boehner and McConnell get up and say, oh, we're having lunch with him when we came to put down the hatchet. And what do you think that the monster did? He said, good, I didn't put down my hatchet. I picked up another one. I'll chop both of your heads off. And they learned nothing. Nothing. They went back to form. They think we elected them? They think we went to the polls to elect, to put Boehner and McConnell in charge again? That's what I killed myself for the last year? That's what I wrote, Stop the Coming Civil War, so I could see John Boehner again and McConnell up there? Are you crazy? We didn't do it for that reason. And yet they think it's a mandate for them to continue with the business as usual. The same old corruption, dealing, wheeling, dealing, no talk about borders, language, and culture, no rebuilding of the military, nothing. Nothing. So you see what I'm talking about here has ramifications right into our political system because we see the personification of evil. And so many movies have been done over the years that were great. A Touch of Evil by Orson Welles. Great movie to watch, black and white, you know. So many movies about good and evil. And the best movies are always about good and evil, aren't they? Of course, in the old days, good usually won and evil was defeated. I remember there was a code in the movies up until the 1950s or 60s where my father told me when we go to the movies together, he'd say, you notice that in the end the criminal always has to die and the cop always has to win. I said, why is that, Dad? He said, to not give people the idea that they should go into a life of crime. I said, that makes sense. Now take a look at our country today. The so-called anti-hero developed in the 1960s has now become the norm, where the anti-hero is now in the White House. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What's happened as a result of this cultural brainwashing? You get it? You understand the danger that we're in? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I'm going to do what I can do through executive action. It's not going to be everything that needs to get done. And it will take time to put that in place.
Mm-hmm. See, now many of us would think that's the voice of the devil. He's been told over and over again, don't you dare do it. This is a nation of laws, not a law. You're not a law unto yourself. He's been told by the Republicans that even they will pass immigration reform, but they want to do it in an orderly manner, in a legal manner. He said, go to hell. Do you understand what we're talking about here? You know, someone sent me, my friend Jeff Rovin, who was on the show last week, a writer from New York, a very famous writer who may you know of, the nine satanic statements from the Satanic Bible. Satan represents indulgence. Obama is the most indulgent president in American history. He indulges himself in his own ego. Satan represents vital existence, undefiled wisdom. Satan represents vengeance. Satan represents responsibility they write to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. Satan represents man as just another animal. Satan represents all the so-called sins. They all lead to physical, mental, or emotional gratification. Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had as he has kept it in business, they write. Some of it's very interesting. So we're talking about, does the devil exist? Do you believe the devil exists? Have you experienced an exorcism? The evil impulse? This is Michael Savage. I've given you some views, some news, some reviews. In these last 2 hours, there's another big hour coming up. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I don't consider it a wave. I think it's an ebbing of Democratic voters rather than a wave of Republican voters, because I don't think the American people gave anybody a great big seal of approval. The president has the authority to act by executive order on immigration. It's in the law, but it's also in the precedence of other presidents.
Yeah, Pelosi again. We thought she was gone. We thought the witch was gone. Oh, no, the midterms wasn't a GOP wave. It was an ebb of Dem voters. And the dictator can act because it's in the precedence of other presidents. See, she's not evil. She's stupid. And the Democrat Party is dumber for keeping her in a leadership position and for not acting to remove the president and replace him with Biden. Because as liberal as Biden is, he is at least a known entity to the American people and to the international community. Obama is a disaster to the nation and to the world. There's an article right now of our president in China where he's chewing gum stepping out of his car, and they're shocked by it. They call him a slacker now. They cannot believe what they're looking at. They're looking at a president acting like a slacker, and that's what they called him, a slacker. Showed up chewing gum, getting out of a car and riling the Chinese. Gum-chewing Obama riles Chinese. And what they're saying is they're calling him the rude one. The rude one. He's rude to them, too. And he emerged from his car chewing gum. He's a well-known user of Nicorette. But Chinese internet users, accustomed to the highly formal standards of their stiff party leadership, quickly characterized Obama, the leader of the world's most powerful nation, as an impolite, quote, idler or careless rapper. We, quote, we made this meeting so luxurious with singing and dancing, but see Obama stepping out of his car chewing gum like an idler, wrote a professor of journalism at Beijing Tsinghua University. And the rest is history. That's who you have now in the White House. An embarrassment around the world, a living embarrassment. You may say, let him stay there where he belongs, but no, he's coming back. This man is possessed to destroy the nation. Now, he's going to appoint someone named Loretta Lynch to be Attorney General. I pray to God she's blocked for a number of reasons. First of all, it's alleged she was picked by the vile Al Sharpton. She comes from New York City. She's been involved with Sharpton in many of the decisions that he has profited from. It's shocking that Obama would not pick a moderate for Attorney General, but he continued to pick a radical leftist in the image of himself, even after the drubbing they took in the election. We have sound that we got from Newsmax today of the Attorney General nominee, Loretta Lynch. What a telling name, Lynch. A lynch mob is about to take over the Attorney General's office, like we just didn't get rid of one. A lynch mob now, lynching conservatives, lynching anyone who opposes the president, lynching voters who want voter ID laws. In this clip, she attacks voter ID laws. And I want you to hear clips 11 and 12 back to back. This is Loretta Lynch, who will be Attorney General unless she is stopped by the Republicans. Listen.
50 years after the March on Washington, 50 years after the Civil Rights Movement, we stand in this country at a time when we see people trying to take back so much of what Dr. King fought for.
Oh,
we stand in this country, people trying to take over the State House and reverse the goals that have been made in voting in this country.
Oh my God.
But I'm proud to tell you that the Department of Justice has looked at these laws and look at what's happening in the Deep South. And in my home state of North Carolina has brought lawsuits against those voting rights changes that seek to limit our ability to stand up and exercise our rights as citizens. And those lawsuits will continue.
This woman is a radical that should never be confirmed for Attorney General's office. She is as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than Holder. She has no business in the Attorney General's office. She is an extreme left-wing ideologue. And I don't understand how the Republicans can permit this. I hope that they delay the nomination until they take power in January, and then they expose this woman by playing tapes like this at the hearing. and they're not afraid to be called racist or thisist or misogynist. Just understand what's at stake. If he puts this one in, we're going to have two years of hell in this country. Here's what she's attacking, our voter ID laws. What are voter ID laws? They make certain that you're qualified to vote. Every sane nation on earth has them. And the only way these illegitimate Democrats win is through illegal aliens and voters who are not qualified to vote. So she says she's going to uphold more of this rather than less of it. So by this soundbite that we got for you from the Newsmax Corporation, she's unqualified because she's too biased to be an attorney general. She is supposed to be the top law enforcement official in the United States of America. She's not supposed to be a partisan. Do you understand? Look what we just went through with Holder for all these years. So now we're going to go back to the topic at hand, which is the devil. It's quite a nice segue because we played two of them, Pelosi and Loretta Lynch, in my opinion. Do you believe the devil exists? Have you experienced an exorcism? The reason I covered this for 2 hours is because it's clear to me and anyone who's studying what's going on in the world that there's a lot of demonic behavior going on in the world. Satan is everywhere, if you want to put it that way. And the society that we're living in is melting down more rapidly than you could ever imagine because we have no leadership. If you say we have no leadership, that's not entirely true. We do have leadership. We have a secularized White House where you never see reference to religion because he is not at all interested in the subject, and he despises those who do believe in God and religion, especially those of the Christian faith. He seems to have a sympathy only for those of the Muslim faith. We have a superficial culture that is so exaggerated that you can say it is demonic in that sense. And that's why the Vatican, whether you believe in it or not, believes that Satanism is on the rise. And they want to pull out the devil from people. You say, wow, that's crazy. That's ancient. So I asked you if you believe in it and have you gone through it. And we have a caller, Raymond, on WJR from Ohio, who says he went through an exorcism. Raymond, thank you for having the courage to call the program. You were exorcised?
Yes, I was. In 1984, I was involved in gangs from the age of about 9 and a half, 10 years old till I was about 27. Did a lot of evil things, but I could honestly say that since then I've seen things a whole lot more different spiritually.
But do you feel that the exorcism cured you of the evil?
Yeah, it took some time, like you were saying in the beginning of your program, when you went to your what you went through when you were 40. You know, there was times that you know, I had a struggle because of with my anger, with my violent self within me that was real violent, and I just tunneled that to do other things.
Right, that's right. So in other words, you didn't kill that energy, you converted it to good.
Exactly. I can't say that came from me. It came not because I wanted to find my way to heaven or work my way back. No, it was just I was thankful for what God did for me through his mercy and his grace.
You know, you remind me as you're speaking, I don't know you, you don't know me, but you heard what I said about my own personal quest and journey and the struggles I've had in my own life and continue to have to this second. I'll have till the day I die, because I don't think, Raymond, that we ever stop struggling with this. Do you?
No. I've been literally pulled off my bed by demonic forces, and I have witnesses of that. They literally pulled off my bed. People have my ex-wife has said that she had to jump off the bed because she felt like something just jumped on me and started to choke me. And she literally heard voices. I heard the voices saying, you're mine. What you're doing is wrong. And it's like, and I had to really, right there just pray and ask the Lord that whatever it was that was in the room to take away. So we do, it does come back. We do struggle a lot of times with things, with our thoughts of doing evil, especially when we see...
But Raymond, there are psychological tricks to some of this as well. I mean, I'm not denying the church's methodology, but, you know, have you had voices speak to you telling you to do evil? I mean thoughts. You say voices. I mean thoughts.
No, no, I won't say I've ever heard a voice telling me to go do something evil. No, I've not.
But how about thoughts to do evil? And we all get them, like, you know, whether it be drink that alcohol or eat that strawberry shortcake. Let's make it benign, to all the way up the scale of evil. You can also say to the voice, go to hell and leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, you know
you
what?
Can. You can tell a devil to take a walk. You can tell a devil to go find someone else.
And
there's something else. Raymond, do you have a dog, by the way?
Yes, I have two.
Well, let me tell you, because you know this, don't you feel that the dogs guard the house from such evil?
What a dumb dog. It was barking.
Okay. So, now, I have a feeling that animals actually keep out evil spirits from a house.
You want another?
I believe evil spirits fear animals, certain animals. Now, it is true that the symbol of the devil is in the form of a toad or a cat. I don't know if you know that, so I don't want to get into it. I don't particularly like cats. I know people do and all of that. I don't like them around me. I've always feared cats since the age of discovery of feline leukemia and young children. I wouldn't have them in my house when my children were young. But that's another story. I just don't get along with sneaky creatures. I prefer overt, dumb dogs to sneaky, covert animals. So what I'm saying is dogs can be very helpful in this situation as well.
I don't know. I never experienced that, but I did want to say I don't want people to think that what I'm saying is something that just came out of my head, or that it, maybe I have some kind of mental problems. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's a spiritual condition that I was in.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. The psychiatrist would say it's spiritual and put you on a drug. I assume you're not on antidepressants. Is that correct?
No. I've seen, you know, people exorcise, and I also seen dumb pastors try to exorcise people that, because, like, I had an experience. This one kid was allergic to, used to foam at the mouth, and you twist and stuff, and you couldn't control him. Had this unbelievable strength. And through the years, the mother found out he was allergic to rice, you know, and that was awful.
Wait, allergic to what?
To rice.
Plain rice? Rice? The food rice?
Right, just rice. Like you said, it's strawberry, you know, he would eat rice. And she found out, she gave him a Rice Krispie, and he started to go in a fit on the floor.
Wow, I never heard of a rice allergy in my life. Well, Raymond, are you currently... what are you doing with that powerful negative energy that you have been suppressing since the 80s, since your exorcism? How did you channel it?
Well, I went and started taking flyers throughout the Hispanic neighborhood and black neighborhood about the Republican Party. And it's unbelievable, because I started reading and started teaching myself that I should be a staunch Democrat. And then I started thinking, I said, wait, how could I vote for a party that don't believe in what I believe? How could I vote for a party for abortion on demand? I don't believe in that. How could I vote for a party that believes in gay marriage? I don't believe in that. How could I vote for a party to tax you that you can't even pay your mortgage? I don't believe in that.
So oh, boy. Hey, Raymond, you're the most dangerous voter in America.
You know, as I start talking...
An awakened minority who has turned on Nancy Pelosi is the most dangerous voter in America. Raymond, I'm going to send you a gift, a copy of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I think you're going to find a lot of food for thought, and I want to thank you for being a strong man and for actually listening to what I was saying on the show. It's amazing to me, having heard that call, that people hear everything you say in radio. I'm going to talk to other hosts, local, national, otherwise... We all listen to each other once in a while. Listen to me. Not a breath that you take when broadcasting is ignored. Somebody will hear it. Remember that. You'll be vilified or crucified for everything you say. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. About the devil. What is the devil? What is evil? It's everything you want to make it. It's your political enemies can be made into the devil. It's called demonizing your political enemies. Ignoring people who are in trouble is devilish, you know. Whichever way you want to look at it, you can make anyone into the devil, anyone into the angel. There's a story right now of Limbaugh with a threatening to sue Democratic Congressional Committee all over Drudge, all over Fox News, which is, it's ludicrous. He's a public figure, number one. He needs publicity, so obviously he's making this into an issue. He's not going to go anywhere with this because he can't win, in my opinion. Do you know what defamation requires, a defamation lawsuit? Do you have any idea what the standards are? They're pretty high. A, you have to show malicious intent, and B, you have to show actual financial loss. Now, how can Limbaugh prove financial loss when he has so much publicity for nothing? How is it possible? This can be laughed out of court before it even enters there. It's just a desperate attempt for publicity. It's that simple. What's even more ironic and somewhat bothersome to me is that here I am, the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain on statements I actually didn't even make, and nobody gave me any publicity on it. Not even the great Rush Limbaugh, who's suddenly a victim. So I have no sympathy for these lawsuits. None whatsoever. It cost me $400,000. You know where I got against the British government? Nowhere. I should have bought fish and chips for the entire Marine Corps rather than waste my money on the lawyers in England. I'm still banned from entering England, but Rush didn't say a word about it. All the other great men of the conservative movement said nothing. What radio legend? What radio legend is this that comes up with a lawsuit like that? I'm sorry, I'm not one of the party boys who are going to go along with, yeah, Rush is this, Rush is that. Come on! What are you talking about, suing the DCCC for defamation? Can't win. Why don't you take a look at the real cases of defamation that have really caused harm, Mr. Limbaugh? That's what I'd like to say. All right, that's life. That's life. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Here are some of the headlines, and here are the weekend story summaries. You can see most of them up on michaelsavage.com. Soldier's hero dog stolen by military. We're trying to reach the soldier. I notified my attorney to try and get the dog back for him, but the Army apparently stole his dog, Maddie, after he came back from Afghanistan. It's heartbreaking, and we're going to try and help specialist Mr. Grommert. We can't seem to reach him. They took the dog away from him. He's allowed to have the dog. Army regulations say that he can adopt his military working dog. It's known as Robbie's Law. It was signed by Clinton in 2000. And Mr. Grommert filled out the adoption paperwork in the Middle East and handed it over to K2 Solutions, the private firm that then contracted with the Army on canine issues, and took Maddie for an examination, and then they never saw the dog again. We fear that this firm sold a dog. And if we find out, we will let you know. Second story, foundation of U.S. nuclear system showing cracks. Obama defends plan to act alone on immigration. Voters said no to not only Hillary, but Christie, Bush, Paul, and Perry. That's an interesting article by Larry Kudlow that I found, and I agree with him 100%. But it didn't stop Hillary. It hasn't stopped Christie, Bush, Ron Paul, or Perry from going ahead. They still didn't get the election either. They didn't get the election any more than Obama did. Larry Kudlow writes, "We all know the Republican midterm landslide was largely a repudiation of Obama's policies and his handling of the job as chief executive. And of course, we don't know who will succeed him in 2016. But buried deep inside Tuesday's exit polls is a series of numbers on presidential contenders that will blow your mind. It's completely different from most anything you've seen in the newspapers, the internet, or on TV. Get this," he says. "Here's a stunning question and answer from Edison Research, which interviewed 18,000 voters around the country as they left the polls on November 4th. Do you think Hillary Clinton would make a good president? Yes, 42%. No, 52%. But they also rejected Christie, Paul, and Perry. Okay, that's very important you know that, because the old establishment types refused to let go of their power madness. Here are some network government relationships that came up. In 1998, I gave a speech, Beware the Government Media Complex. I warned you about the cozy relationship between the government and the media. But here are some marriages that you don't know about. Are you ready for this? ABC News executive producer Ian Cameron is married to Susan Rice. National Security Advisor, I believe. CBS President David Rhodes is the brother of Ben Rhodes, Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications, if he's still there. ABC News correspondent Claire Shipman is married to recent White House Press Secretary Jay Carney. ABC News and Univision reporter Matthew Jaffe is married to Katie Hogan, Obama's Deputy Press Secretary at some time. ABC President Ben Sherwood is the brother of Obama's Special Advisor Elizabeth Sherwood. CNN President Virginia Moseley is married to former Hillary Clinton's Deputy Secretary Tom Nitis. Now, some of these relationships have since changed because they've moved on. But I've often warned you, beware the government media complex, and that's why I pointed them out for you today on the Savage Nation. Now let's go to some of the callers. We have open lines at 855-407-282 on the exorcism question, or have you seen the devil? Darla in Colorado Springs, thanks for listening. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I have witnessed an exorcism. It's quite some time ago. I was in my teens. And I was part of a church group that went up to help a new church up in San Jose, California. And the girls all slept in this one room. It's about eight cots, you know, lined up. And in the middle of the night, I hear this voice. And this voice does, it's just like the movies. And I turned around and hear this voice is coming out of this 15-year-old girl. And you can't fake a voice like that. So I was a little freaked out, but I just I remained calm. I kept it engaged. I woke up this girl on the other side of me. Go get the pastor. The pastor came down, and then it was pretty orderly after that. He talked to her for a while, and then, as the Bible says, he commanded the spirit to come out in the name of Jesus Christ, and the spirit came out. And or the,
so you wait. So you heard? You heard a, what? A satanic voice in someone?
That is the only thing that was like the movies, was the voice.
And what? It scared you?
Well, I come from a pretty dark family anyway, so I mean. I did scare me to the point where I, you know, ran away, but...
But what do you mean by a dark family?
I have some practice, some practicing witches in my family.
And you yourself are a practicing Christian?
Yeah. No, I'm not the...
So when you go to Thanksgiving dinner, do you sit down with witches? Dinner with witches?
Oh, no, I... most of my family's dead, so...
Well, what do you mean by practicing witches? They actually identified as a witch?
Yeah, they were part of a coven.
Oh, you grew up in that kind of environment. My God, that must have been interesting.
Wasn't, but...
You what know. Did they do that was most alarming to you, a covenant of witches?
Well, I try to stay far away from it as possible, but it's more... Let me put you this way. I definitely have a 8 or 9 books on witchcraft and spells. Because you have to, like some guy said on your show earlier, you have to know what you're dealing with.
Are you, so you actually believe that there are satanic forces in people?
Well, after hearing one come out of a 15-year-old girl, yeah, it's kind of hard to repudiate now, you know, once you've lived it.
Okay, but today you're cured of all that.
Well, I didn't have the problem. I've been a Christian since about 7, because
All right, well, thanks for having the courage to call the Savage Nation and share that exorcism story with us. And you actually believe it's true that Satan does exist. Chattanooga, Tennessee, WGOW Radio. James, welcome to the Savage Nation program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. I'm kind of a little nervous on here. I've been waiting, but some of the things people have been telling are right, and some of them are wrong. All you have to do is check the Bible. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he was tempted by the devil. You saw the temptation of Christ. I hope you did. That was pretty real. It was pretty right on it. But in Ephesians 6:12, and I'm going to be fast reading this, so I won't take a lot of time, but it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the fiery darts that the devil shoots at you, trying to put into your mind. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when you say wrestle is a contact sport. So you're fighting against the devil all the time, but principalities or designations, like Africa might have a designation. Powers is the one that's in charge.
In plain English, you are a believing Christian, and you do believe there's satanic forces and that exorcism is a useful tool.
I've attempted to cast the devil out of a woman at our church. We're an evangelist church, and the pastor had a altar call, and people were there, and we had a lady that came in. It was always kind of spacey, and she would quote the Bible, but she was weird eyes and stuff, but she would quote verses just like the devil did, but he would mix them up. And we had one altar call, and the lady had a, she fell down in the spirit. Then she started moaning and foaming at the mouth. And so I'd been reading books by Cleveland evangelist Norval Hayes, who's cast out many demons, and I thought I was ready for this. And I took her back to her seat, and I attempted to cast the devil out, and the pastor told me to take her to the back room, that I was making too much commotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her to the back room with me, set her in the chair, and got my Bible, and was, you know, saying, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of this woman, you unclean spirit." And as I was doing this, she was withering and falling around, and other people came in, and they started doing like they always do, want to know where the spirit came from, who was it, who was in her, and so forth, so on. And she named a place, and I didn't know it was in Africa, but I wrote it down. She named a place in Africa. I kept attempting to cast the devil out of her. The devil attacked me in a weakness I had of a physical condition, but this went on for about 3 hours. Now, the devil, when you try to cast the spirit out, they get weak. They can't fight for a very long time. But I just didn't stay with it that long. I didn't know how to do it. But the lady was frothing. She had many spirits in her, and it became because of a rape that had happened to her. All these things were revealed by the spirit. The spirit talked in a different tongue than she did, in a different voice than she did. But never did get the spirit out. We just, you know, worked hard at it. I've written, read many books on it. I've studied it so much.
I believe every word you're saying. I don't believe you. Everything you're saying sounds as real to me as the desk I'm sitting at, James. And I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I mean, you're helping people. Let's go to George in New Jersey on WABC. George, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I noticed a lot of hopelessness in your voice recently, and it's only 1 week since the elections, and already you seem to have a hopelessness for the Republicans.
I think you are projecting, my friend. I don't feel hopeless. Do you?
Well, I wanted to make the case that this country has to...
Hopeless about Boehner and McConnell doing anything to save the nation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am hopeless about them because they're useless. Why wouldn't you be hopeless? When you have men who were not put in power by this last election, other than by accident, no one voted for Boehner and McConnell. They held their noses and voted for the Young Turks that we put in. That's what this election was about. It wasn't for the old guard Republican K Street crooks.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you feel despair over the fact that Boehner comes out and McConnell comes out and says the first thing they say on Thursday is, we go to lunch with Obama and we're going to put our hatchet down. Who asked them to put their hatchet down? As I said, we asked them to pick up their pitchforks, didn't we?
Absolutely. And I have a feeling
I'm not hopeless. We need the young folks out there. Mr. Cotton from the South is a war hero, 32 years of age. They spent $100 million to destroy him, and he won. Miss Ernst in Iowa, they spent a fortune to destroy her, and she won. They should be the faces of the Republican Party, not the same old greedy guys who ran the party off the highway. You know what I'm saying? Off the road. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to call the program, we're almost flat out of time and lines here on the Savage Nation. I suggest you visit michaelsavage.com for the stories that I try to cover but couldn't get to. I would also tell you that I want to thank you for putting my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, on the New York Times best-selling list for 4 weeks in a row. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. A story summary of the Savage Nation for today. Go to MichaelSavage.com for these and all the other stories you may have missed while watching weekend television and relaxing from the election earthquake that everyone knows about except Obama. That's everyone's talking about who I run into. How could there be an earthquake at the voting booth while this would-be king in the White House pretends as though there was no vote, and while he seems to hear the two-thirds of folks who didn't vote, meaning those who don't pay taxes by and large, He refused to hear a word of the one-third who did vote, when we all know that only one-third vote in a midterm election. Anyway, Savage Legal Fund is trying to fight for the return of the soldier's hero dog. It's in the top right of michaelsavage.com. It's a heartbreaking story. I want to know who stole this soldier's dog after he came back from Afghanistan. Who in the army stole it? We've been talking about that today. And I'm going to try and put all of the resources of the Savage Legal Fund to getting this dog back for that hero soldier. On the left, Stop the Coming Civil War is now 4 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Thank you very much for beating the boycott, but now our hard work begins, as I told you it would. I told you the real work would begin after the election, as it has. Why do I say that? Because just winning at the booth doesn't mean that you won inside the political chambers. Not when you have a mad dictator running the country, and you have a, shall I say, supine Republican Party run by John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, who were ready to lay down their hatchets when he certainly wasn't, and we sent them there to pick up their pitchforks, didn't we? The architect of Obamacare said we had to lie because voters are too stupid to know what's good for them. Did you see this story? Beck and O'Reilly use Savage's Civil War theme without Savage. Thanks, Beck. Thanks, O'Reilly. Here's a scary one, and I don't like to use the word scary. Foundation of U.S. nuclear system showing cracks. Obama has denuked us without firing a shot. The Lord of anti-war has stolen our nuclear capacity from us right under our eyes. First by firing the nuclear command structure, and then by letting the nuclear arsenal's infrastructure fall apart. It's astounding to watch what this psychopath is doing to the country, but it gets even worse. Obama's attorney general pick ensures the DOJ's racism will continue, according to the American Thinker. Read the story. Read the story. It's on michaelsavage.com. You can't miss it. Meanwhile, the 9/11 law firm was exposed in a divorce proceeding that's as ugly as the lawyers who cashed in on the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The lawyers are as ugly as the terrorists. They're the scum of the earth. You call them one of New York City's most prominent law firms? I call them the worst scum on the planet. How's that? Meanwhile, a Manhattan prosecutor was arrested for beating a woman at a bar. How'd that happen? A lawyer would do that? That's impossible. Aren't all lawyers good? Couple fined for refusing to host same-sex wedding on their farm. WorldNet Daily asks, is Obama trying to provoke an insurrection or a civil war? You know why? Because they read my book. Meanwhile, Ebola keeps growing in numbers while the media keeps shrinking the number of cases you are permitted to see. Did you know that? I guess you didn't know that. There's a great picture of Obama in China wearing a Mao jacket. What's intriguing is that the Chinese are wearing business suits, and our clown is putting on, it's not Photoshopped, he's wearing a Mao jacket. Was this in his closet? Is he a closet Maoist? Duh. What about net neutrality? What is net neutrality? Well, Obama announces his move against the internet, basically to take it over while in China. It's very chilling, but the low-information voters of the type who fight with each other on subway cars and beat each other up over sports outfits could care less about the internet because the only thing they use it for is to display their ugly bodies. Ebola defends his plan to use executive action on immigration. He should be impeached for it. The voters said no to him, but he said screw the voters. Finally, I'd like to close with some notes I found in my 1968 journals, which I'm editing at this time. And it were quotes from Karl Marx, which I noted in 1968. I'm not going to try the Greek because I'm terrible at it. De te fibula narratur, which means change the names in the story is about you. Okay, that's benign. I ready this one? Every opinion based on scientific criticism I welcome. As to the prejudices of so-called public opinion, to which I have never made concessions, now as aforetime, the maxim of the great Florentine is mine. And here's what Karl Marx said about public opinion. Sequi il tuo corso, e lascia dire le genti. Pursue your own course, no matter what the people say. Who does this describe? It was written by Karl Marx, who said, let public opinion be damned. This is Michael Savage. Our work begins today. Be sure to read the plan for retaking America and share it with a friend in Stop the Coming Civil War. Thank you for listening, and God bless America.
Savage.